Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi. Covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad, along with Robbie Falk from 24/7 Sports, give you an inside look at the Bulldogs on the field, the court, and the diamond. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk joining you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru at Strange Brew Coffeehouse or here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little odd, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Scuba.
Yes, it would.
You know who would like that, though? Our friend Jenny Buddy. Cody. Buddy, yes, Stevens would like it, too.
Yeah, I've been through Scuba 100,000 times.
Yeah.
I usually go to just about every home game there.
Yeah.
It would be weird if they had a nice Strange Brew coffee house.
Bruba.
Scuba, yeah. Bruba.
They could create a new kind of boba and call it Bruba.
I'm down with that. They do have the Junction there, which has some really good chicken tenders. And I know chicken tenders.
Nobody knows chicken tenders.
Maybe you could connect the Junction with a Bruba.
You are the Ken Jennings of chicken tenders.
Yes.
You know it all.
Yes.
If that was a Jeopardy category, you're slamming through it.
That's right.
So. I made chicken tenders yesterday with my fried chicken.
I'm really upset good. I didn't get those.
My chicken?
Yeah, yeah. I want to try yours.
Next time I make fried chicken, I'll make enough for everybody.
I don't want everybody. I want it to be me and you.
Okay, we can make that happen.
Yeah, we don't need to be inviting people.
No, you're right. You're right. I hear you.
The more the merrier, and by the more I mean the more chicken. Yes, right.
I had that, some cheese grits.
Ooh.
Some yeast rolls.
Oh.
Just out of the bag. I didn't bake them or anything, but
I had
Sister Schubert's, and then I just took it. What I did, I just took a stick of butter and just I picked them up, and it was like I using it like a marker.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, just
that's how you're supposed to do.
Soaked in butter.
I had a Mississippi River biscuit yesterday from Restaurant Tyler.
What is that?
Wait, you never had this?
Never had the Mississippi River biscuit.
Oh, buddy.
Do tell.
Oh, buddy.
Poor Strange Brew. We're just rolling all over them here.
Here's a biscuit.
Okay. Now you're off to a fantastic start.
That has fried chicken on top of it.
Very good.
And gravy.
Ooh.
And cheese.
Ah.
There is egg on there. So
we can get around. We'll figure that out.
It's not that much egg.
Yeah.
And grits on the side.
Oh, my God.
On top of this biscuit is strips of bacon.
What?
I cannot believe you've never had this.
Well, guess
the next time you go to a restaurant, Tyler, you've got to get it.
Is that all day? It's got to be just a brunch thing.
It's brunch, probably.
All right, I'll get out to brunch.
But you've got to do it.
They might as well call that the Brian Haydad biscuit.
Oh, buddy, I told you I was kind of dealing with a little infection sickness. So I wasn't.
You were down with the sickness.
Yeah, so.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't eat it all.
That was terrible.
I couldn't eat it all yesterday morning because I just didn't have the appetite. But I saved it for dinner, so it took me two meals to eat it.
I had a big wad of phlegm there. I couldn't get past. I was trying to do the
Disturbed?
Yeah.
That's fine.
By the way, we'll get to this in a second because we got Strange Brew Coffee House.
Yes.
You know what?
Look,
to do.
It's our show. There's sometimes we can vamp a little bit.
Yeah, no. I want to ask you about something though that's related to I'm going to tie it all together in just a minute. College Corner and collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to find maroon and white merchandise you can't find just anywhere else. Only College Corner has the biggest and best selection in Central Mississippi. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. They're in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet. They're in Flowood by the Half Shell. Or you can always shop online at collegecornerstore.com. It is it's Taco Tuesday. Taco Tuesday at Humble Taco. But every day it's kind of Taco Tuesday there because they have the best tacos in town. And they're tacos you cannot get anywhere else. Everywhere else, yeah, they might have the carne asada and they might have the carnitas. And look, good stuff. If you enjoy it, it's great. But when you want something different, something you can't get anywhere else, when you want Mississippi fare, Mexican fare with Mississippi roots, you want to go to Humble Taco. They've got the best in town. Handmade tortillas, fresh ingredients. When Ty Timms is doing the cooking, you know it's always a good result. Check them out at Humble Taco. Firehouse Subs, that's the place to go to lunch. I found out, today, we're going to talk about this in just a minute. We had a press conference with Chris Chans and Sam Purcell. Steph was late for Jans, like 2 or 3 minutes late. He said, "Why?" It's like, "Why are you late?" "Oh, I got stuck in the drive-thru at Jimmy John's." Well, let me tell you what you should have done, Steph, if you're listening. You should have placed your order online with this Firehouse Subs app. It would have been ready when you got there. Then you could have eaten and not been in a rush.
And your sandwich would be hot.
Your sandwich would be hot, and you wouldn't have been late to work. All of those things because you made the wrong sandwich decision.
Rookie mistake. We're trying to teach him the right things to do.
He needs to follow our example a little bit more. Just a little bit more.
Look at us. We know how to eat.
Yeah, we do. It's quite obvious in my, and especially in Maya case. Maya case.
So, Massimo.
Did you hear me say on Saturday? I was like, they got to make it where the PA announcer, when he kicks, it's a good.
And we're gonna have.
Can we get Anthony Craven on that, please?
We're gonna have a gimmick for every special teams player.
Yeah.
And I mentioned Bordtown needs a deal because they got this Mediterranean Greek kind of thing.
With George Tjopoulos.
Yeah. You know, and then Massimo, taste or something. You get pasta half off.
Yeah.
If he hits, you know, three field goals.
Exactly.
I mean, these special teamers, man. They
got a lot of NIL potential.
That's right.
All right. Firehouse Subs. Starville, Oxford, Columbus, Tupelo, Floyd, Madison. Real quick. You told me something I found incredibly interesting the other day. That Danny P. Smith, our friend and the sports editor for the Starville Daily News, is a drummer.
Yes.
Okay.
He plays the drums.
Now, have you seen this video of the drumming grandma?
Yes, I've seen her many
times.
Doing
the Down with the Sickness?
Yes.
We need Danny P. to do Down with the Sickness.
I'm interested to see
his
style.
I want
to
see his rock chops.
I've never seen Danny play drums. I play drums too, but I haven't in quite some time.
We should just go to this church where he plays drums.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I play drums as well, but I can't.
With like the Neil Peart hat.
Yes. Just ding, 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 play YYZ.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see Danny's style. Like, if he's like a, sure enough, like.
Just solid.
Yeah. Like
I see him as, I forget the guy's name, the guy from AC/DC, just solid. Not a lot of fills, just, he's just the backbeat of that.
Slade,
man.
Is it Slade? Something Slade?
I don't know.
I think that's But Danny wouldn't have the cigarette hanging out with like the 2-inch.
No, God no.
That guy would just like have that cigarette and the ash would be like 2 inches
holding
long.
Holding on for dear life.
Yes.
All right.
Like Joe Dirt, whenever he had the ash was just like that long. He was sitting at the.
So we're going to talk about the press conference we went to earlier today. Chris Chans and Sam Purcell. Just a little basketball talk here. Then we got one game on the countdown to talk about. And then, but before, we'll start off, I guess I should say, I want to talk about Will Rogers today. One of the most hyped seasons coming up, probably since Dak Prescott's senior year for Will Rogers. Already holds every potential single-season passing record. And will be going for all of the career marks this year. Should, if I did the math right, should beat the career passing yardage this year, late in the season. And then everything else will fall along with it. For him. I've said before, I think he's a 5,000-yard passer in 2022. That's not a huge number for him to get in terms of improvement from a season ago.
But that's a huge number.
It's a huge number, though, yeah. Especially, I mean, it really is hard to believe that going into last season, 3,793 was the number for single-season passing yards. And now we're talking about stretching it to 5,000.
And you were asking, can he throw for 3,500, I think, weren't you? Or did you say 4,000?
I think it was 4.
Was it 4? Because I think I said like 38.
And there were a lot of people said no, they don't think he could do it. And then he threw for 4,700 plus. So let's talk about this season. I say 5,000, but I mean, that's just one stat, right? Obviously, we're going to look, you know, can he complete 74% of his passes again? Can he maintain that 4-to-1 touchdown interception ratio? What's the ceiling for Will Rogers in 2022 for you?
From a statistical,
just maybe from that, and just from a you know, how good a quarterback can he be? You know, there's been some talk on message boards. Like some people are, maybe I think they're projecting. I think they're a little overly, you know, optimistic, but possibly that he could play well enough this year that he decides it's time to move on and go to the NFL draft. Is that a possibility in your mind?
Yeah, you know, I've seen that a lot. I don't see it, not as an early entry guy. from a, you know, just from, you know, the talent standpoint, I don't know if the NFL is going to be like head over heels for Will Rogers this year. But I do think that he is a guy that will make an NFL roster. I think he's going to be an NFL player. For how long, I don't know. But I think just the mindset that he has, the decision-making, the, you know, the ability to learn an offense the way that he does and really soak it in, I think that's going to resonate with a lot of NFL GMs and coaches out there. I think they're going to love that kid when they get him in the film room a little bit. Like, you know, if he did like a film study with John Gruden, who will probably not be doing any film studies on ESPN anytime soon.
No, his film studies will be on OAN.
Yeah, probably so. Him and Mike Gundy would have a film session.
Man.
I think that if he got in a room with a coach and they sat there and watched, I think they would fall in love with the kid because he's a film room junkie. He's a guy that, you know, I mean, it's kind of cliche, but, you know, he's bringing his hard hat to work every single day. You're going to get the same thing from him every day at practice. He's a leader. So he does have a lot of intangibles that you just cannot find, you know, year after year. And I think that's going to play into his favor. I think that he's here again next year, but would be interesting to see what happens if he's not. I mean, I think, you know, that'd be good news for Sawyer Robertson because as of right now, I do not know if he's going to be able to beat Will out.
Don't say it.
I'm not going to say he's transferring.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm not going to say that.
Now that guy's going to say something else to us.
He will. But, yeah, I mean, I think that the ceiling can be very high from a statistical standpoint for him. I think he's going to have a big year. I think that, you know, any time that you have a guy that has been in a system like this for 3 years, you can expect that that guy's going to be able to put up a lot of production. And this offense is very friendly to those quarterbacks. But, I think this could be the best season that a Mississippi State quarterback has had from a passing standpoint.
One thing that I've been seeing coming out of the practice reports, and we've always talked about arm strength with him and the deep ball, but Paul keeps saying that he's been able to get the ball into tighter windows. I think that's even more important than being able to throw it 60 yards down the field, mm-hmm. is that when you have those intermediate routes where there's a safety on one side and a linebacker on another, and you've got to fit that ball in there to get that 12 to 15-yard gain, that's very important. If he's improved that aspect of his game, because I thought last year there were a lot of opportunities where it felt like he was afraid to take that chance. Maybe he didn't even trust his arm. If he feels like he's got that kind of trust in his arm, I think that's what's going to lead him to be better statistically this year.
Yeah, and I think people put way too much into the arm.
I do too. Know,
throwing it 50 yards down the field. I mean, this offense isn't designed to have a ton of those plays, those chunk yardage plays. It's an offense that, especially when they're playing the defense that they do, it's an offense that's just going to, you know, paper cut you to death against that defense, and you hope to have some big plays open up or you finish in the red zone. So if you're going to see that kind of defense, you're going to see that drop eight defense, you need a quarterback that's going to complete passes down the field for first downs, is moving the football. And I think that's what Will Rogers is going to do. I think he's going to consistently move the chains. He's going to complete 70%+ passing, which is an incredible number when you look at that, even if a lot of these passes are, you know, 10 yards. And I think that, you know, I feel like Will Rogers gets the Nick Fitzgerald treatment. You know, there's some things that he's limited at, but he's very, very good in this system. And he's
well, you see a lot of people complaining about he doesn't run enough. And after we just spent 3 years with Nick Fitzgerald saying throw the ball.
Right. And that tells me I feel like, you know, people are never gonna be happy. I agree. The one quarterback that I feel like people were always happy with was Dak.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it goes back in time. It goes back years and years. The starting quarterback has a microscope on him, and any mistake he makes, this is why I think that they should be playing so-and-so. Mm-hmm. You know, it's time to give somebody else a chance. It's always the backups that are the most talented guys. And, you know, you and I both, we watched the scrimmage the other day, I've seen a few practices as well. Will Rogers is the guy. Will Rogers is the best quarterback at this time for Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, when you look at the numbers last year, it's hard for me to look at Will and say, this guy's just not getting it done. You know, it's very difficult to look at those numbers and be upset about what he's done. Mm-hmm. And there's, I mean, how many games did his play lose the game for Mississippi State last year? I mean, they lost to Arkansas, and that was one of his best games.
One of his better games. Obviously, I mean, Alabama, Memphis? You can't really say. Memphis, no. No, they lost the game because of poor special teams. Simple as that.
Yeah. They could have won that game.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't finish a couple of drives.
He had his worst game against Ole Miss, but he was obviously besieged by drops.
And also, it was raining. That's not a good element for Mississippi State's offense.
The other thing that gets me is that State made – Ole Miss basically gave away the running game. They were like, you can run on us, because they were splitting Sam Williams out so wide to let him just feast on Scott Lashley. And State never made that. And part of that might be Will. You know, Will has to be able to come to the line and say, there's a 6-foot hole between the nose guard and the defensive end. I should probably send somebody up the middle here.
Yeah.
But Ole Miss, and then, you know, the bowl game was just a disaster for everybody. I don't know who to blame in that. If you want to put the blame on Will Rogers, I'm not gonna stop you. He didn't play well in that game for sure.
So we're talking one game,
a couple games at the end of the year.
So I mean,
he played some of his best football against Memphis. He threw for a ton of yards against Memphis. He threw for a ton of yards against Arkansas. So yeah.
And we talked about that early last year. I mean, I just feel like the weight of the world is on this kid's shoulders, and that's
called,
life.
It's because it's an air raid system.
That's life in the SEC too. Mm-hmm. I mean, the starting quarterback is the face of the program. And really, that's most places in football. The starting quarterback is going to be the most heavily criticized guy, the most watched player on the team. Mm-hmm. He's got, you know, a bullseye right on his chest. So I guess I can understand that too. But I just, you know, I think Will Rogers is a lot better than people give him credit for. And I think you're going – it's just like Nick Fitzgerald, which there's still people that are not going to give him credit. But – I think as time goes on and you see if Mike Leach is here for the long term and you see other quarterbacks come through this system, I think you're going to appreciate Will Rogers and how he ran this offense a little more.
So that does lead to the other question. What's the floor for Will Rogers this year?
I mean, the floor
could
is...
Could he regress? Is it possible?
He could. And a lot of that is the offensive line. You know, if he's not getting the time he needs, specifically on the blind side, he's rushing passes out. His percentage goes down. His interceptions go up. I think I think that's a possibility. There's always a possibility that a player can regress. I think that's definitely something that could happen. But I think he's going to be able to take that next step forward. I think he's going to show that he's progressing in this offense.
We shall see. I think, you know, like I said, 5K, doable. 40 touchdowns. Doable, you know, and then that same completion percentage. And I mean, if he hits those numbers, all State has to do is be pretty good defensively, and they'll win at least 8 games. There's just no way around that.
So. And we believe that State's defense is going to be significantly better than last year. So I think that's very much a possibility.
Mm. What do you think of these new uniforms?
Oh, I love them.
Do you?
I think State does a better job on alternate uniforms than they do the original uniforms.
What I will say is this. Two things. First off, it seems to alternate. Remember the Flying M's? Everybody loved those.
Yeah.
Last year, those all grays.
Those retro.
Nobody liked
reverse
those.
Reverse retro.
Yeah.
That was an Adidas thing.
Yeah.
I think that these jerseys.
State had a lot of input.
I think that's a Mississippi State thing. That when Adidas messes around with stuff, it's not good.
It's funny how. When there's new uniforms or there's like a special uniform, either everybody loves it or everybody hates it. There's very little middle ground. I will say this: I'm one of the few people. To me, the size of the lettering on the jersey, it looks like a basketball jersey to me.
You don't like it?
I'm not a huge fan. I like the helmet.
Well,
and I like the concept. I like what we're honoring there, but the jersey, I just doesn't work for me.
So the jersey, the lettering is the lettering that
right.
they had.
No, I get it.
And the Miss State is kind of crossing eras a little bit, yeah. But I believe that that was the jersey that they practiced in,
mm-hmm.
Maybe like their last year.
Yeah.
And the MS, I think, was only worn on their helmet the last
year. They wore the Flying M.
And I think that it was a maroon helmet. If I'm,
oh, it would have definitely.
We'll have to check with some of our experts that have the history. But yeah. The Flying M was like from 66 to 71, mm-hmm. I think.
And then, yeah, 1 year.
So it's definitely like an inspired uniform.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the exact uniform. They've taken some concepts of that era. I love it personally because there's a little hat tip to that Miss State mm-hmm. that I'm really pushing for.
Yeah.
I love the clean look. I don't like all the stripes.
Oh, I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that.
The Flying M was the same way. No stripes, just numbers. And I want more of that.
One other thing the state has done well these past years, something I'm a proponent of, is you want those kind of uniforms on lesser games.
Yeah.
I don't want you wearing that uniform playing Texas A&M or Arkansas or Auburn. I want those against Bowling Green.
Well, the gimmicky ones, I agree. But, mm-hmm. like, some of these I would love to see for more games. I would love to see the Flying M more.
Oh, I don't think we'll ever see it again.
I would love to see that more. I would love to see this more.
Mm.
I would love for these to be, if not permanent, in the rotation. Every now and then you pull them out. It feels like, you know, they get these really good uniform concepts.
And they never go back to
them.
And they
never go back.
Yeah.
And then you go back to these.
Everybody liked the one. I didn't like the helmet, but the ones they wore for military appreciation. The Arkansas game in 2018, the gray
uniform. Really
I thought they were solid. I just didn't like the helmet that said Mississippi across it.
It was a bit much.
Yeah.
That was a hat tip to Sonny Montgomery. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
I get that.
But, yeah, that was a bit much.
But everybody liked those jerseys. Everybody liked that. Yeah. You know, and I'm trying, what are they doing? Did they do anything in 2019? Though they, I don't remember.
Well, they did the Egg Bowl. They did those uniforms.
Oh yeah, they brought the gold helmet. Well, not the gold helmet. They had the gold piping
accents.
I like that. I'm a big fan of that. So
yeah, I really like these uniforms. I think they're sharp. I just love the sleek look. That's what I mentioned.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of all these stripes on the shoulder pads and all that stuff. Just the slick look is good for me.
Yeah.
If they can take a little bit of this and put it into a new uniform with, you know, it don't have to be the interlocking MSU on the helmet, but just something new.
Yeah, I got you.
Because I think the current uniforms are just kind of a little...
They're a little drab.
A little bland.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's move on into the second half of the show. That's brought to you by our good friends over at... the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. I mean, if you come home and your wife or your husband is saying, hey, I'm cooking steaks tonight. I mean, how happy are you?
I'm happy.
Could put a bow on what might have been a really bad day. So, brighten your day with a steak. Cook that sungun, medium rare, a little salt, a little pepper, a little butter, a little garlic and thyme. I mean, you don't need a whole lot. That's the beauty of beef, is that it doesn't need a whole lot to be delicious. A lot, the cow does the work for you. So, go grab a steak, grab some burgers, hit up your local meat markets, hit up your butcher, and remember that beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. Drove through the Cotton District today on my way to campus. I mean, I love the murals they've got down there. It's everything pops. It's bright. I can't wait to see that place on a game day filled with people.
Yeah, those new murals in front of Humble Taco are really cool.
Yeah, they go all the way down.
Really cool.
And they look great. City is starting to come alive. You know, so I was on campus today, saw people going around. I saw a girl today. By the way, I'm just bringing this up. I'm driving to the hump for this press conference. And this girl, it's like the first day of school, right?
Is that the first day of school?
It's getting close if it's not today. And, you know, you want to put your best foot forward, right?
Did she fall?
Try to make some friends. No, she was wearing a shirt that said Ole Miss Baseball.
What?
Like, on day one? Just walking to the classroom, everybody's like, well, I hate her.
Did you berate her?
No, I didn't say. I was just driving
past
her.
I saw a guy yesterday at Restaurant Tyler wearing an Ole Miss shirt. Like, read the room, dude.
Like, what are you doing?
Like, I mean,
I get that there are Ole Miss fans that go to Mississippi State, and you can be proud of it being an Ole Miss fan if you want. But on the first day of school, try to make a friend, why don't you?
Yeah, everyone's going
to
hate you.
Yeah, you walk in the classroom, everybody's like, well, not talking to them. So, I'm just saying.
The self-awareness there is very low.
Very low. Very low.
If she was on Madden... Her awareness level 31. Would be like a two.
Ooh, that low.
Yeah,
I'm not wrong. Well, hopefully she's aware that Two Brothers is the place to go. Go grab some great food and have a great time. Don't wear an Ole Miss shirt, though, at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Go to College Corner, get yourself a brand new Mississippi State shirt. Great time. I'm sorry. Great products, great service. I was sucked on great times there at Two Brothers. But great products and great service is what every business promises. I can tell you that Advantage Business Systems delivers it. And I can tell you because they've been doing business for 47 years. Longer than I've been alive. That's a long time. I got a lot of gray in my beard, but they're still going strong over at Advantage Business Systems. So when you need technology for your business, copiers, printers, computers, laptops, you call Advantage Business Systems. And if something goes wrong, you call them again. And you're talking to somebody here in the state of Mississippi who's going to treat you like the neighbor that you are. The number is 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. I talked to Chris Jans earlier today. Robbie was there for the second half with Sam Purcell where he interrupted me.
Well, it was an accident. I thought he called on me,
uh-huh.
But he actually said Brian.
Because Brian and Robbie sound just the same.
Yeah, they do.
What he said was, hey, fat guy with a beard, and you thought...
It was me.
He thought it was you, but he meant the really fat guy.
I'm medium-sized.
Yeah. You're just tubby. I am full-on portly. talking to Jans, you could see that he's excited about his team, but I think he knows that this year one is going to be tough. You know, if this is a tournament team, that guy, if he takes this roster to the NCAA tournament, to me, that shows you that you should be super excited about the future because I think they're going to be good. They'll be competitive. They'll play hard. They'll be more exciting to watch. But in terms of wins and losses, it's going to be tough because you don't have an alpha dog scorer to complement what Tolu Smith brings to the post unless somebody steps up. Now, could a guy like DJ Jeffries take a big step forward here in his last year at Mississippi State? I mean, possibly. He certainly got the talent to do so. I think it's good that you have a true point guard on the roster now with Deshaun Davis. I think you've got some guys who can be better from behind the arc. You know, he was asked about that, and his quote was, I was made well aware of our three-point shooting problems, basically. I mean,
big problems.
Robbie talked about it every week, that the state just could not hit three-pointers last year.
And I don't know, you know, how many guys on this roster can really shoot it?
That's a good question. I
is
think
that going to be is that going to be
Eric Reed was a good 3-point shooter last year.
You know, is that going to be fixed this year? I don't know. This is a much bigger job for Chris Jans than a lot of people expected.
It would have been a lot easier for him if either Iverson Molinar had decided to stay in school or if Isaiah Mosley had decided to come to Mississippi State. He's lacking that true go-to scorer. I mean, this team just doesn't have one. So they're going to have to sort of piece it together. That said, I thought he was, you know, positive about the future and, you know, very very committed. He made an interesting point. He said, you know, when you talk to when you're a new coach, because I asked him about being a new coach and how do you recruit, you know, when you don't have a track record. And he's like, one of the things about being a new coach is when I recruit a high school kid, I'm like, I'm going to be there. Mm-hmm. I'm, you know, if you get somebody who's in the middle of their tenure, they could be gone in a year or two.
Yeah.
Me? I mean, you know, if you're here 4 years, I'm going to be here with you because that's the way college basketball is and contracts and everything. I thought that was an interesting point from him. Obviously, the quote of the day was somebody, our friend Danny P, asked him about Starkville. He said, well, outside of the humidity, it's been great.
Other than at 9 a.m., I already have swamp butt and I can't breathe.
Somebody tweeted at me and said, I always describe it as it's like being inside someone's mouth.
Yeah, pretty
it's
much.
Like, wow, that's a great point. But Jan's very, very energetic, very excited about the future. And then there's another level of energetic, and that's what Sam Purcell is.
No one can reach.
Not only were you at the press conference today, you are putting together a piece on him. Is that correct?
Next week. Yes. I'll have more on that.
More later. On the details to come.
Yeah.
On Robbie talking to Sam Purcell.
I'm going to spend a little time with Sam, which okay. I did today. I was at Rotary Club mm-hmm. with him and then went into the press conference as well. And he did not come down on his energy from Rotary to the press conference, which I thought, you know, maybe he would change a little bit and be, you know, come down a little bit with the media. No. He was
the same
level.
Same
person.
Yeah. And another guy, I mean, It does feel sort of cliched sometimes when you have an excited coach, but it does seem very natural for him. It seems like that's the way, you know.
Oh, that's how he is all the time.
We're going to see an animated guy on the sidelines.
I've had several conversations with him, just, you know, away from all that. I mean, he is the exact same all the time. I don't know how he ever gets any sleep or anything, because he is just hyperactive. But yeah, he's going to be an exciting guy. He's probably going to be one of those that's kind of like how Vic Schaefer was at times. He's going to be animated on the sidelines. He's going to be jumping up and down. He's probably going to be waving his hands up in the air and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
He confirmed, which I don't know if we've talked about this or not, but whenever that we were talking about the student section mm-hmm. moving, they're moving the benches. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Right.
They're going the opposite side of the floor. I wanted to let people know about that if you didn't already know. The benches will now be on the other side of the floor.
Right.
So it'll look a little different. Mm-hmm. On television, you'll see the coach and the players and everything on the bottom side of the screen. So that's going to be interesting to watch. But I don't know if we really learned anything. He did say that at Rotary, he said they were playing Georgetown
mm-hmm.
on the road, and they were playing South Dakota State on the road.
Let's go to that Georgetown game. We'll hang out with Ross Dellinger.
And that'll be fun.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind going to Washington.
Go to our nation's capital.
Robbie
and I are going to drain the swamp. Let's go.
Yeah. I have a few ideas.
Yeah, I have more than a few.
But yeah, we didn't really learn a ton. There, you know, season tickets are about to go on sale,
yeah.
I guess. And what else? Everybody's coming along. I mean, there was really not a whole lot of news.
Yeah.
But
so, good to talk to those
think,
guys.
When's
the last time
this.
We had a nice sit-down?
That's been a long time.
Press conference, man.
It's been a long time. I still believe that State's women this year have a better chance to have a bigger season.
I agree.
Than the men.
Well, having Hayes and Carter.
Yeah. State's returning more, I think.
Yeah.
And they added some key pieces. And it's also, like I said, it's a little easier for this team to navigate and get in the NCAA tournament than I think the men's team because of the landscape of the college basketball.
Hayes and Carter, the men just have
the Carter. And Ja'Kayla Jordan.
Yeah, the men just have the Carter. They have the post piece,
yeah.
But they don't have that perimeter score. So
well,
I agree
you return
with you.
Anastasia Hayes, Jessica Carter was all SEC before she mm-hmm. set out last year. Ja'Kayla Jordan was very good last year, double-digit scorer.
And they've added
Danae Carter was all freshman team before she got hurt.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and then you've added several pieces that should be good role players.
Right. Should be an interesting and a fun team to watch. I expect women's basketball will not be down for long at Mississippi State. All right, let's jump into the countdown. Let's wrap up here with our final segment here and our one game. My clue yesterday was who gives a flip.
So somebody's flipped.
No.
Really?
That's not what it is.
Is it a coin flip?
It is not. Let me see.
Okay,
you know
what is the answer here?
Well, I'm gonna see if I can't make it work here. On the as far as a,
it's not gonna be Wayne Mack and doing the helicopter flip at LSU because they lost that game, and it's not gonna be Dak Prescott doing basically the same thing
because mm-hmm.
they lost that game too against Ole Miss.
Right. So let me see if I can't make it happen here for us. Here we're gonna try. Something here.
What are we trying?
We're just going to try something. Just calm down. It'll be all right. Nothing to be overly...
Hurry up!
Sorry, just calm down here. All right, let's see if this works. If it doesn't, I'll just say it.
Okay.
Wide open. DeCenzo Miller. He fell down.
Over the middle.
Touchdown, Mississippi State!
Auburn
99. I thought I had the MSU feed on this. It's famous for me anyway for John Carrero. They go down to John Carrero and he says, "There's going to be a penalty for celebration, but who gives a flip?"
Oh, so I wouldn't even think about that.
That's where I was going with that. So yes, today's game, the number 11 game on our countdown, Mississippi State 18, Auburn 16 from the 1999 season, the first of the four comeback wins that year. And in my opinion, even more so than the Egg Bowl, this one was the most improbable one. State down 16-3 in the fourth quarter. Matt Wyatt leads a huge comeback, hits C.J. Sermones for a touchdown, State gets a defensive stop. Auburn decides to take a safety to make it a 16-12 game. And then the sequence, the next sequence is always interesting to me because Auburn does the free kick with Damon Duval, who, as you know, one of the best legs in the history of the SEC. The guy could crush the ball. Normally a free kick, you're hoping you get the ball about the 30.
Mm-hmm.
And he kicks it all the way down to about the 15-yard line. But Pig Prather, and I've talked to Matt a few times about this game, he, in his opinion, this is the biggest play of the game, breaks off a return to get out close to midfield. And what he always says this, because it sets up the next play, that he's described it as, they ran three guys on a Hail Mary, and then they ran Terrell Grindle just running across the middle. And he says, if we're on like the 50, or like the 20, if we're on our 20, they're not going to respect that play because they know I can't throw it 80 yards, but I can throw it 50 yards. So they have to respect the deep ball there. And what it does is it allows Grindle to be open. He hits him coming across the middle, and he takes it down to about the 12. Incomplete on first and second down, and then on third down, he finds Matt Butler right in the middle of the end zone.
I don't know how you fit the ball in there either.
If you go back and watch the replay, it should have been intercepted. The Auburn defensive back just mistimes himself. And give credit to Matt Butler there, because that's a situation where a guy is cutting across you right when the ball gets there. Could have very easily. And it's if you heard the beginning of that they talk about DeCenzo Miller, the previous play, Miller is wide open in the end zone. Wyatt sees him, throws him the ball, and he just falls down going into the end zone and can't catch the ball. So it all sort of balanced itself out. State should have won.
You're thinking
way.
At that point, oh, this is the most Mississippi State ending of all time. You had to do wide
I've talked about it many times.
Falls down.
I went to this game. Our tickets were in the upper deck, and I have an awful fear of heights. I can't deal with heights. So after about 2 minutes up there, I was like, the hell with this. So I just went down to the ramp in the end zone there, and I just stood on the ramp the whole game. It was me and then another friend of mine who was coming up. He saw me. He's like, I'll just stay here with you. So we watched the game, and it's terrible. This is awful. State's just getting – and that's not a good Auburn team either. That's mm-hmm. Tuberville's his first year at Auburn. And so when they go up 16-3, my friends come down, and they're on the ramp. They're like, are we going to go? And I was like, let's see what happens. If we could do something on this possession, we got a chance, right? And the rest happens from there. And I'll never forget when Butler scored. I mean, people were just going berserk. Yeah. There on the ramp. It was a lot of fun.
Was this the largest comeback before last year against Auburn?
So they're down. I don't think that's right because it's only down 13. There's another comeback in there that I'm not
maybe
sure
the,
what it is.
Maybe it's the largest fourth quarter comeback.
Maybe. But even, if you said, I remember this one a little more fondly. Maybe it's because I was there.
Than last year.
I don't know why that is.
It might just be, that. The play was so dramatic.
It was really something. So,
but last year, I mean, the more you think about it, that was just incredible.
A lot of fun.
Like to come back from down 28-3 or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It was.
Yeah. But, of course, this game, part of the undefeated start that year. And then this was sort of the game where to go on the week before that, they had gone to Vanderbilt and won. And you're like, well, that's Vanderbilt. Who cares? To go to Auburn and come back and win like that, you knew that you were in store for a special season. And it ended up being one. They go 10-2. On the year. So,
also, Dave Neal has called more iconic Mississippi State moments than anyone.
When you're the 11 a.m. guy?
Jack Crystal and then Dave Neal.
Dave Neal is number two, no question. Jim Ellis is third.
Yeah.
For football, for sure. So, that's number 11 on the countdown. Mississippi State 18, Auburn 16, 1999. Tomorrow, let's see. Let me get a good one here. Down come the goalposts.
That could be.
Could be a few games, but we'll see games. What it is tomorrow. All right, guys. Also, tomorrow's the rumblings, so get your questions in, and we will be happy to answer them. And Robbie, if you want to fire off that tweet, we will make it happen. And back tomorrow, guys. Have a great Tuesday, Robbie. And I'll be back with you on Wednesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Talk Mississippi Media Production.